Welcome to Storytime by Chava. We are up to chapter 66 of the book Once Upon a Journey, volume 2, by Rabbi Zalman Ritterman. This chapter is called The Eloi of Pinchav. Although we had been married for years, my wife and I had not been blessed with children. Our greatest and most heartful wish was to hear the cheerful sound of children playing to replace the silence of our large home with lively chatter. We wanted to hold our own baby in our arms and finally hear someone call us mother, father. As the years passed, we felt a painful emptiness in our hearts. Neither our money nor our many parties were able to make up for this loneliness. Deep in our hearts, we knew that the day would eventually come when we would pass away from this world and leave no one behind to remember us. "What is all our money and property worth?" my wife often cried. "We will die and leave no one to inherit it all." The truth is, we had reached the point that we would have gladly given up all our wealth and property in exchange for even one child. There is nothing in the world that can compare to the wonder and pleasure that a child, just by being there, gives to his or her parents. 1 year after another slipped past, and our hope of being parents slowly faded. One day, a guest arrived in Svensian. He did not tell anyone his name. Something about the man caught my interest from the moment I saw him. He gave the impression of being someone very special, and his face shone with greatness and humility. I do not remember exactly how it happened, but one day we started talking together. His tone of voice and way of speaking made a powerful impression on me. He knew how to say very clever things in a wonderfully simple way. When he spoke, his voice made me feel calm and confident. For a moment, I was scared that he would tell me off for the way I looked and dressed and because of the things I did. The entire city knew about my non-Jewish way of living. I was quickly relieved. He chose to speak only about the good things that I did. He made me feel good for being generous, and he told me about the importance of the mitzvah of tzedakah, which I had always made sure to do as best as I could. He explained that the Torah considers maaseh, a person's actions, even more important than limud, his learning of Torah. He taught me that Chazal say, the main thing is not learning, but doing. He also explained that pure emunah, the strong faith of simple ordinary Jews, was extremely precious to Hashem. In fact, he said, Hashem loves the emunah of the simple Jews even more than the Torah learning of the Talmidei Chachamim, who consider themselves important because of their impressive knowledge. Strong faith in Hashem is so important, the man explained, that Chazal said the Jews were redeemed from Egypt, from Mitzrayim, only in the merit of their emunah. The words of this guest opened a new world before me, a bright and important future that I never knew existed. The way he looked at everything was so different from the way most of the Magidim who I'd met until then had seen things. How different he was from the last Magid who I'd heard in Svensian. We spoke for a long time, and I felt renewed hope for my life. I suggested that he stay in a house near to my home so that I could get to know him better. I wanted him to stay there for as long as he remained in Svensian. He agreed, and we were able to meet often and talk Torah topics for hours at a time. His positive influence began to have noticeable effects as my wife and I started to change our way of life. My friends, the Paritzim, could not understand what had happened to us. Why did we stop attending their parties? After some time, my only connection with them was for business reasons, just as it had been at first. Once again, I was keeping Torah mitzvahs. My Yiras Shemayim grew stronger each day as I studied Torah regularly. I felt myself returning to the right path, and this made me extremely happy. Even after the mysterious guest left the city of Svensian, I continued along my path of tshuva. My emunah in Hashem had returned. Around this time, I heard of a certain tzaddik whose words had an effect in heaven. Our hopes of giving birth to a child of our own also returned. My wife and I decided to travel to meet this tzaddik and to pour out our hearts before him. We did so, and the holy man gave us his blessing. With Hashem's kindness, our first son was born less than a year after we received that blessing. and our second son was born a while later. We were now the happiest people on earth. We realized that this great blessing came about because of the great change for the better that the unknown guest had introduced to our lives. Had it not been for him, we would still be living the lowest kind of lifestyle, and we certainly would not have merited Hashem's blessings. One day, we found out that the guest was in fact one of the Nestarim who traveled constantly from one town to another in order to help their fellow Jews do teshuva and to bring them closer to Hashem. I thanked Hashem with all my heart for having allowed us the great merit of meeting the Nestar and for allowing me to once again live a life filled with holiness. Reb Tzedek stopped talking and looked deeply into my eyes. I could see that he was trying to find the right words to tell me something he felt was very important. After thinking silently for a long time, he finally said, "That traveling Magid, with his terrible curses and rebuke, managed to drive me away from Hashem. But the traveling Nistar, with his special way and kind and pleasant words, managed to bring me back to Hashem." When I heard this story from Reb Tzedek, Reb Aaron Yaakov told Reb Baruch, I deeply appreciated the Nistarim and the wonderful work that they do. This was not the only time that the new Rosh Yeshiva Reb Aaron Yaakov had an opportunity to see the works of the Nestarim. He told Reb Baruch that during his travels, while he was in a state of voluntary gullus, he had met the Nestarim on many occasions and saw the important efforts that they made on behalf of Jews everywhere. Reb Baruch listened carefully as Reb Aaron Yaakov spoke. It made sense, he thought to himself, that not only did Reb Aaron Yaakov get to know the Nestarim, but they must have gotten to know him as well. One day, a Nistar arrived at the home of Reb Baruch. He was a close friend of Reb Menashe, the good friend and student of Reb Baruch whom he had appointed as the director, the Menahel Ruchni, of his yeshiva. When the Nistar entered the yeshiva, he noticed the new young Rosh Yeshiva saying a shir to the students. Afterwards, the Nistar returned to his friend Reb Menashe with a look of amazement on his face. "How long has the new Rosh Yeshiva been here?" he asked Reb Menashe. "A few months," he replied. "Why do you ask?" "How on earth did you manage to acquire such a special person?" he responded. "Oh, do you know him?" Reb Menashe asked in surprise. "Of course I do," replied the Nistar. "Why, do you not know who he is?" "He is none other than the famous Eloy of Pinchav." "The Eloy of Pinchav?" Reb Menashe wondered aloud. "Yes, he is the great sage of Aaron Yaakov. When he was young, he was already famous for his clever mind and vast knowledge. At the age of 23, he was offered the position of Chief Rav of Polotsk." Reb Menashe was excited by the news and hurried to share it with Reb Baruch. Together, they decided not to let the Rosh Yeshiva know what they had discovered about him. After all, he desperately wanted to remain unknown, and they did not want to lose such a special Rosh Yeshiva. 2 years after Reb Aaron Yaakov's arrival, Reb Baruch decided to give him control of the entire yeshiva. He paid for Reb Aaron Yaakov's family to move to his estate, and he promised to supply him and his family with all their needs. Now, Reb Baruch decided, it was time for him to do something that he wanted to do for many years.